We have designated April as Spiritual Warfare Month. We're going to do a lot of preaching on spiritual warfare. We're going to have our revival services during this month, which I think we will be involved in spiritual warfare. We also, of course, have Brother Castle coming in. This morning, during our Sunday school hour, I taught on the subject of satanic possession. This morning, I'm going to preach on satanic deception. Tonight, on satanic worship. And so the subject of the hour, satanic deception. Look for that word, deceive or deceived, as we read from Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal upon. I know that means he shut the pit, but I'm so glad he's also just going to shut him up. Amen. Praise God. Wonder what it's going to be like to be in heaven and never hear a whisper of demonic influence, never feel the tug of temptation. Praise God. Ooh, I could have preached on that this morning. Set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Revelation, Lord. We know, because of your promise, that the group of people here, and Lord, yes, even this preacher will receive an extra blessing for having just read the words of this book. And so thank you for that. Lord, we want to focus in, Lord, on a common enemy. Lord, you, your enemy, our enemy. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be very, very aware of what he's trying to do in the hearts of men. I pray for that person that may be in this room, and Lord, they are deceived concerning their security beyond this life. They are deceived into thinking that heaven's their home, when in truth that's not where they're headed. I pray for that Christian that may be in the process of being deceived by Satan. Lord, help us just to put the floodlight on and the spotlight on this old dragon. Lord, help us to understand this is what he does. This is how he lives. Satan has no scruples. There's no code of honor with him, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be aware, wise as to his devices. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If there is one thing that is taught literally from the opening chapters of Genesis to the closing chapters of Revelation, if there is one thing that is taught, it is that the devil is a deceiver. The devil is a deceiver. Satan, young people, works his trade through deception. Deception. He says, look over here at what's in my left hand, and as you're looking at his left hand, he strikes you with his right hand. He says, take this apple, and it looks fine, but when you bite into it, it's full of razor blades and poison. Listen, the devil will always try to deceive you, to trick you, to offer you something that looks one way, but in truth it is something quite different. Now I want to expose this old smutty face this morning. I'd like to take the little bit of time we have, and I'd like to share with you, first of all, this truth that Satan is a deceiver, and that I want to identify this morning how he uses deception, the people that he uses to deceive, some of the arguments that he uses to try to deceive us. We're just going to give you a rock-solid Bible message that will expose Satan for who he is and what he does in this matter of deception. Please use your Bibles this morning as we move around a little bit in the Scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Now I'm going to be reading several portions of Scripture to you, but I want you to see this one. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And if you will, notice please verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 13. I want to first of all point out to you that Satan, who is a deceiver, he has his deceitful army. His deceitful army. Look at verse number 13. For such are false apostles. Notice the next word. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, and what that means is don't marvel at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, notice that, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Satan, we are taught in this Scripture, has an army of deceivers to help him deceive mankind. Now let me first of all draw the spotlight on Satan again here. Notice in verse 14 it says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I believe if we were allowed to not just see the visible creation, but if we were allowed to see the invisible creation just for a few moments, as Elisha's servant was allowed to see, if we could see the invisible creation and perchance we were to see Satan himself, I think you would be shocked at his appearance. Shocked at his appearance. You know, Hollywood, and of course even the cartoon industry, has tried to paint a devil that's in a red suit with horns and a fork tail and a pitchfork and runs around stabbing people, you know, with that pitchfork. That is not the devil of the Bible. God says that if you could see Satan today, you would be shocked, because you would see a image that was bright, an image that was glowing, an image that was shining. Watch this. Those of you that watch TV shows like Ghost Whisper, watch this, because that's just one show amongst many shows and amongst many movies, and we're going to chronicle some of them tonight. Whereas Christians, we better be aware. Isn't it interesting that everyone always goes to the light? Well, I know Grandma was saved because she said she saw a light. I know Grandpa was saved because he saw a light. Let me say this. I'm not trying to discomfort your heart concerning loved ones that have passed away. But folks, let me say this. Nobody goes to heaven because at the end of their life they saw light. People only go to heaven if they've received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I think we got to be careful, because Satan, according to this Scripture, transforms himself into an angel of light. What he does is he counterfeits God. Because God is light, but here's the difference. The Bible says, in Him is no darkness at all. Well, I promise you, once you go past the facade of the light of Satan, there's nothing but darkness. There's nothing but wickedness. There's nothing but evil. But he tries to pawn himself off as light, because he knows that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, what I want to point out here is, though, is that he also is reinforced with his deceitful army. And this deceitful army are apostles, are preachers, are evangelists, are people in the ministry, ministers who claim to be speaking for Almighty God, but the honest truth is they are deceivers. They have transformed themselves and are trying to counterfeit themselves as someone who stands up and speaks for God, but the honest truth is they do not speak for God because they do not preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can help this you with something, and I'm especially sensitive to those of you that are new converts, those of you that are newly saved. I don't want to do anything to cause you to stumble. Perhaps throughout your life you've heard people, maybe in your family, maybe other people that you admire, and maybe they are in many aspects a good Christian, but you've heard them say something along the lines of, I don't think any preacher ought to ever get in the pulpit and preach against other churches or other religions or other preachers. Let me just share this with you. If I did not do that, I would be delinquent in my responsibility to Almighty God. Please listen to what I have to say here. I'm not trying to put everybody in one basket. I'm not saying that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the only truth bearer, the only one that has the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That would be foolish to think that. But let me say this. When someone begins to preach a gospel that Paul identifies as another gospel, and another gospel simply means a gospel where anything is included outside of the grace of Almighty God. Any work that is attached to the free gift of salvation is that other gospel or another gospel. Anybody that says, you have to do this, or you have to go here, or you have to perform this act, or here's the list of things you must do in order to work your way to heaven or get to heaven, they are preaching another gospel. They're saying, if you'll go this way, you'll escape hell. But the truth is, you won't escape hell. If you go that way, you'll go to hell. You say, Brother John, I'm not convinced. Well, let me share an illustration with you. Just suppose that we were conducting school here at Blessed Hope Baptist School, and we love the students here. I mean this. I walk through the school almost daily without fail and go to every classroom and for a few minutes stand there and pray and thank God, and then I harass some students and disturb the class, and the teachers are always glad when Pastor Jerry leaves, I think, because it's hard for them to keep order when I'm down there. But I go down there and I pray for them, and I love the young people in our... Could you imagine if all of a sudden we did what we do from time to time, and the fire alarm goes off, and it's always fun to watch because you just want to get to where you can see an entire class, especially the girls. I don't know what it is, but you flip on that fire alarm, and every one of them comes about that far off their seats, you know, and scares them to death. But suppose this isn't a fire drill. Suppose that unbeknownst to the downstairs, the upstairs has become ablaze. And the entire building's in danger of collapsing down upon itself. And finally somebody notices, Brother Reiser wakes up from his nap and looks around and realizes that not only are their children missing, but the school's on fire, amen. And he runs over and he hits the alarm. And can you imagine I heard the alarm go off, so I rushed downstairs. And Brother Reiser is over by the door that leads outside, and he's trying to direct all the children to the proper exit. And all of a sudden, Pastor Jerry opens the door to a classroom where there's no exit, and I begin to say in a powerful voice, a persuasive voice to the young people, come in here. Come in here and you'll be safe. No, no, don't listen to him. Come in here and you'll be safe. And I'm directing them into a room where there's no exit. I'm directing them to a room where if they go in there, they're going to soon be overcome with smoke, and then the fire's going to come and the building's going to collapse, and they're going to perish in the blaze. If Brother Reiser saw me doing that, would any of you in this room, parents, would any of you fault him for screaming at the top of his voice, pointing at me and calling me out by name and saying, young people, don't listen to him. He's lying to you. I know what you think he is, and I know what he appears to be, but he's telling you something that's not true. You've got to come this way. Would any of you parents fault me for that? Not only would he be right in doing that, but he would be negligent not to do that. Now listen, folks, and this is something we've got to surrender. We've got to bow to the Word of God. Sometimes we've got to take preconceived notions and throw them out the window. But if somebody's telling a bunch of people, if you come to this little booth and you confess your sins to me, a man, and you come on Sunday and you put some money in a little box, and I put a piece of bread on your tongue and a little sip of fermented wine on your tongue, that you're going to go to heaven. excuse me, but somebody's got to stand up in a pulpit and say, that man's a liar. He's a liar. He's dooming people to hell. Because for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works. You know, not every church that has Christian on the sign is Christian. Somebody in that pulpit is saying, listen, folks, in order to be saved, you must be baptized. If you do not go into the waters and be baptized or sprinkled and you're going to hell, then somebody's got to stand up and say, that man's lying. He's hurting you into a room that's going to fill with smoke and fire and you're going to be destroyed. Please listen to me, Blessed Oak Baptist people. Please listen to me. You know what? If you've got family members, I'm a little tired of hearing a comment. If you've got family members that are going to a church that doesn't preach the true gospel and you've got the attitude of, well, at least they're in church, you need to throw that thing out the window. You need to get on your knees and begin to pray them out of that liberal church. Pray them out of that church where the gospel's either misrepresented or not preached at all. I mean, I wouldn't be satisfied if one of my children was sitting in a church where the gospel wasn't preached. I wouldn't be satisfied if one of my grandchildren one of these days was in a church where no one was ever saved. If no one's ever being saved, then the gospel's not being preached, folks. And what I'm here to say is this. Listen to me. Satan does have an army. It's just a fact. All across this country, there's people gathered in what they think is a church listening to who they think is a man of God who's filling their mind and ears with lies. And that's what the Bible's saying here. Satan has his ministers. They're transformed as ministers of righteousness, who then shall be according to their works. Is there other verses that support that? Oh my goodness, saints. Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, verse 24 and 25. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Brother Benny. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. I love that little verse that follows it. That's the length of the entire verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. In other words, you have no excuse to be deceived by these things. I'm telling you, they're coming. I'm telling you, they're going to be peddling a different gospel. I'm telling you, they're even going to be performing what appears to be miracles. But it's not the Holy Spirit of God that's involved in that nonsense. Amen. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark thee which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Ephesians 5, 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Brother Jerry, why don't you join the ministerial association? Because I can't be partakers with them. I can't go to lunch with a bunch of men and sit there and act as if we're all clergy, we're all men of God, and around the table there's men all around that table that is teaching another gospel, a false gospel. I can't be a part of that. Let them say what they want to say about Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Let them call us isolationists. Folks, they call us everything, including a cult. You know who calls us that? Not the lost world. It's the religious people that call us that. It's the false apostles. But let me just say this. I'm here this morning to call them a few things. Amen. They're deceivers. They're ministers of Satan. They are false apostles. They are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the preachers of Jesus Christ. And this should not surprise us. Shouldn't make us marvel. Because that's what Satan does himself. Number one, I pointed out that he has a deceitful army. Satan's deceitful army. Number two, let me share with you some of his deceitful arguments. Deceitful arguments. Let me just give you some things. I'm going to read the verses to you. It'll help save us a little time this morning. What are you going to hear, Brother Jerry, as one of the satanic arguments? And these arguments, by the way, that I'm going to give you are specifically linked to Satan the deceiver. What are you going to hear that comes from hell? What are you going to hear that's demonic? What arguments is Satan going to give to try to turn the hearts from salvation, from the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, here's one. Boy, we're hearing this a lot in this culture. Number one, there is no God. I want you to rethink a verse with me. Okay? And if I'm wrong on this, I am. But I want you to just rethink a verse with me. Matthew 24:5 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And by the way, we do know, and it's chronicled, we have records of it, it's well established, that there are men and even women who are now and have for many, many generations showed up saying, I'm Jesus Christ. There's people, this is unbelievable, there's people walking the earth right now that are claiming to be Jesus Christ. Now this is what's crazy. That in itself is crazy. But what's even more crazy is they got a following. What's even more crazy is that people believe them. There's a group of gullible, simple people that don't know the scriptures that fall for those things. But let me just give you something here. For many shall come in my name saying, think about this, I am Christ. You know what the philosophy is that's more prevalent than a handful of people claiming to be Christ? Here's the satanic philosophy. I am God. Now, you may not walk up and down the streets, and people in this community may not walk up and down the streets, walk in a restaurant, and somebody say, how you doing? What's your name? I'm Jesus Christ. They may not say that, but in essence, what they believe in their heart is that they are their only God. And you're going to see this taught again and again, and it starts all the way back with what Satan told Adam and Eve, or Eve in the Garden of Eden. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Listen, God doesn't want you to eat of this fruit, because the minute that you do, your eyes will be open and you'll be your own God. You'll have the ability to be your own God and decide what's right for you, what's wrong for you. And folks, that horrible, hellish philosophy is being pumped into the minds of our young people. I mean, there is nothing more hateful that's going on right now in the political arena, in the Hollywood culture, in the movies, and in the music, than saying, listen, there is no God but you. There's no God but you. So I believe that it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Well, I don't know the handful of people that are claiming to be Jesus. We can call that many, but I will tell you this. There's a lot of people that their core belief system causes them to believe that they are their own God. Amen? So they're going to say things like, there is no God. You're God. You decide for yourself. Here's another thing they'll say. Here's what the Satan's argument is, deceitful argument. You're not a sinner. You have no sin. Oh, Brother Jerry, wait a minute. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, this is one of those things that if you're going to believe it, Satan can't just deceive you. He's got to have a little help from you. Satan will plant the thought, but you've got to deceive yourself. You're not a sinner. You say, Brother Jerry, every once in a while I hear soul winners say, and I have. I'll tell you, in all my years of soul winning, there's been a handful of times where I have turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, 3:23, and I can't get past that point. Because somebody, and I can't imagine this, the one thing that I didn't have a problem with when I was having the gospel preached to me and when I was being led to the Lord, one thing I didn't have a problem with was understanding when I looked at my life that I was a sinner. I didn't have a problem with that. But wait a minute, here's the new philosophy. Listen, you're not a sinner because there is no such thing as sin. You say, oh, that's not being taught. It absolutely is. There's no right and there's no wrong. There's, watch this, no absolutes. Stop judging other people. What is wrong to you may not be wrong to them. And by the way, this has now grown to the point where men and women are walking around the country saying, I have no sin. They deceive themselves because they believe this lie of the devil. And what they're saying is this, you can look at their life and say, no, I know homosexuals that say, I have no sin. Drunkards that say, I have no sin. Pedophiles that say, I have no sin. Murderers that say, I have no sin. I mean, they absolutely believe that right and wrong is decided by them. Every man did what is right in his own eyes. They decide what's right. They decide what's wrong. And hey, fine, if you aren't comfortable with doing this, then that's fine. But don't judge me, because I decide what's right and wrong for me. Now, young people, what I'm telling you is this. The number one deceitful argument, there is no God. Let me share this with you. There absolutely is a God. And the Bible says there will be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's an accountability day. There's an accounting day. Every one of us will stand before God one of these days. You can stand around and you can walk around. You can close your ears and close your eyes and repeat a million times, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. But one second after you quit breathing, you're going to believe in God. You're going to know that there is a God, and you're going to know what He's going to talk to you about. He shared this deceitful argument. You're not a sinner. There's no such thing as sin. He also likes this argument. If he can't get you to believe that there's not such thing as sin, he'll just simply say, there's no consequences of sin. Now this is what he's going to tell you to try to deceive you. Brother Jerry, where's that in the Bible? Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And by the way, by that parallel verse, we understand that if it's talking about life everlasting, it's talking about corruption everlasting also. This isn't just saying he shall reap death, but he shall reap the second death. But the world would like you to understand that, you know what, no matter what you do, you're not going to have to answer for it. There isn't a judgment seat. There isn't, watch this, a hell. There isn't a day of accountability. There is no consequences for sin. And that's one of the biggest lies that's being taught by the devil. It's being taught. It's being spread across our country. And let me say this, folks. When we allow our young people, help me here. Watch it, Mom and Dad. Watch it with these little toddlers. I know they're cute, but they also have a sin nature. When we raise children in such a way that they are allowed to do wrong, with no consequences, we are reinforcing, we are laying the foundation for them to believe this lie. You know why so many young people, man, I'm telling you, it didn't used to be that hard to get children saved, and now it's getting difficult. It used to be that hard to get teenagers saved, but now it's getting difficult. You know why? Because every single time they pulled a shenanigan in their life, Mom and Dad has run to their defense. Mom and Dad has run interference. They've diffused the situation. They've not let the consequences come. And that young person pretty soon gets this idea that, you know what, I can do what I want, say what I want. You know what? Somebody always bail me out, I'll never have to pay for it. You know what? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You are not going to live a wicked life. You're not going to live in sin. You're not going to thumb your nose at God without consequence. That's just who God is. And there is a hell. I can't believe how many times I driving up to Indianapolis and was flipping through the radio trying to find something decent to listen to and found a so-called Christian radio station. I could not believe a group discussion going on. Two or three people that were claimed to be in the ministry, ministers, and they were teaching and they were reinforcing one at a time in this little group discussion. By the way, we don't have group discussions at Blessed Hope Baptist here. here goes a rabbit. I can't stand Sunday school classes that turn into group discussions. Here's most Sunday school classes. Well, let's read the Bible this morning. And the third time I am coming to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? What do you think that means? Well, you lazy rascal, you're the teacher. Why don't you study it and figure out what it means and show up and teach the Bible? You know what the Bible says? God says in His Word, we're to preach the Word of God. We're to teach the Word of God. It doesn't say anything about discussing the Word of God. Amen. Let's take a poll and let's see what everybody thinks it means. And then I guess the majority rules. No, God rules. More nonsense. More time's wasted. These kind of a situation. Listen, if you're a Sunday school teacher, listen to me. I didn't put you in that classroom so you can have class discussion. I didn't put you in there so you could have a vote on the Word of God every week. I put you in there to study and to find out what the Bible says and to rightly divide it and teach truth. And you know what? If they have a question, fine. But you know what? Don't let the students take over the class. You teach the Word of God. That's why you're in there. Amen? Amen. Doggone rabbits. He's running through here. Amen. No consequence of sin. Somebody needs to get up on a pulpit and say, listen, folks, this whole idea, and here's this group discussion on the radio. I almost forgot where I went. That rabbit just got me turned around there. But group discussion, you know what they were discussing? How that that hell was figurative, how hell was not a real place, how hell and the doctrine of a literal hell was one of the most damaging things that are being preached from the pulpits in America. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If I could have climbed through a radio, I'd have done it. I was so mad. I thought, you know what? I don't think I could be a good Christian and be near them men. I'd have to, if I was anywhere close to them, I'd have to keep saying, not a striker, not a striker, not a striker, not a striker. That's just wicked. And the thing about it is, I'm not the only one listening to that. You know how many people are listening to that radio program? How many people are being deceived? How many people are given a false sense of security? That, you know what? There's no consequence to my sin. God's a God of love. You know what? He'll sort everything out. You know what? Even the worst of the worst of us, we'll find some loophole and we'll make it into heaven. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. Folks, listen, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must pay the consequences of your sin for all eternity. You must pay it. Now, Jesus already paid it. He paid it all. But if you don't accept the gift of eternal life, you'll have to pay and suffer the consequences of eternal hell. How about this lie? Jesus is not divine. This thing is all over the place, folks. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You know how you identify one of these ministers of Satan? If he will not say that Jesus is God, that he existed eternally, that he pre-existed before the virgin birth, that he was the creator of the universe, not that he is just the Son of God, but that he is God the Son. If you don't get them to nail that thing down, then you know what? You're talking to a deceiver. Here's another one. Jesus is not coming back. These are the deceitful arguments. 2 Peter 3:1-4. And this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You may not know, and you know what? I don't expect you to. Much of what goes on in what's called Christianity outside of the independent fundamental Baptist movement or even outside of the walls of this church, and that's okay. But let me say this. There are denomination after denomination after denomination that's turning its back on the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's people that claim to be independent fundamental Baptists that no longer believe that Jesus is going to come back and take us up in the clouds to meet Him in the air. They do not believe that. They do not teach it. Matter of fact, they teach against it. Well, that was predicted. That was prophesied. And folks, he has his deceitful army, Satan does, but he also has a bunch of deceitful arguments. Now we're back where we started. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Satan has his deceitful army and his deceitful arguments, but I want you to understand something. He also has a deceitful aim. He has a goal. He has a purpose. Let me just share with you what it is. Satan's goal is to take as many men and women and children as possible to a place they were never meant to go. Matthew 25:41, and then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what? The devil, when he got thrown out of heaven, God made a place to put him for all eternity, and the angels that followed him, God prepared a place, and that place was never created with the intent that a human being should ever go there. It was created for Satan. It was created for his demonic army. But Satan has an aim, and here's his aim. I hope you're listening. This is his aim. He wants to take as many of God's crowning glory creation as he can. He wants to drag as many of them right there into hell with him as he possibly can. And we read back in Revelation chapter 20 that when Satan when it's all said and done. By the way, he's doomed. He's doomed. He knows the end. We didn't get to this part this morning in our Sunday school class, folks, but listen to me. The demons that possessed the people in Jesus' time knew that they were doomed. They would cry out and say, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They know their days are numbered. They know what the end of the story is going to be. Satan knows. The only satisfaction, the only purpose that he lives for day in and day out, the reason of his existence, the purpose of his existence has been, I want to deceive as many people as possible while I can, to not listen to a preacher, to not listen to the gospel, to not get saved, to put it off just one more day. He'll tell you any lie he can tell you. He'll try to distract you during the service. He'll try to get your mind to wander. Listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, by the way, you know if you're not saved, because right now the Holy Spirit's tearing you up on the inside. You think that this man, you think Jerry Ross has the power to just say a few words and create what you're feeling in your heart? I can't do that. That's supernatural. That's God telling you in your heart, convicting you and saying you need to listen to Him. You need to get saved today. I don't have that power. I can just preach the Bible. That's Holy Spirit stuff going on. If He's convicting your heart, if He's knocking on your heart's door, if He's saying you better listen to Him because the devil's trying to lie to you and deceive you right into hell, you need to put your pride aside. You need to step out to the nearest aisle. You need to get up there during invitation. You need to get somebody to show you out of the Bible how to be saved. You need to take care of that today. Now the devil's going to say, "Oh, no, no," and he's going to start giving you a bunch of lies. But you know what he's doing? He's trying to deceive you. Because that who he is, he is the master deceiver. And every single person that's ever walked in a church without Christ and walked out in the same condition, they allowed themselves to be deceived one more time. But wait a minute, the danger in that is that makes them one decision closer to the lake of fire. We just don't know. We just don't know. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Let Jesus Christ speak to your heart. Let God draw you this morning. Get that thing settled. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody's looking around. Let's stay very quiet. I know God spoke mightily to my heart this morning. He reformed and redirected the message of the hour. And let me just say this, it may just be for the purpose of stirring us up as Christians, and you know what? Praise God. But I don't want to assume anything. I want to be very tender-hearted to whatever your need might be this morning. If you're here today, and the honest truth is, you say, "Preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know what would happen to me." Honestly, don't. But what you said is true. There's something that happened inside of my heart while you were preaching. God's stirring my heart and speaking to me. I don't think I'm saved. I don't know what would happen if I was to die, but I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, I don't think I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? And by the way, I won't call your name. I won't come down and get you. I won't embarrass you in any way. But I will pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, that's me. If I died right now, I'm not sure where I would go. I don't think I'm saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you put your hand up? Pray for me, preacher. I don't know if I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it. I don't think I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it. How many of you that are here today that are saved would say, "I can witness to the fact that what that preacher said is true. The devil gave me some of those lies for a while. He gave me some of those arguments, those deceitful arguments." I may say, before I got saved, I thought those things. Would you raise your hand? I thought some of those things before I got saved. Devil pulled that trick on me. Yep, he did for a while. God bless you. Hands all over the church. Put your hands down. Let me encourage you, if you're here without Christ, don't leave in that condition. Just a minute, we're going to sing a song of invitation. During the invitation, if you'll step from the nearest aisle, come forward. We've got men. So get somebody to take the Bible. It's trained to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Christian, listen, we got to get burdened, don't we? Well, there's something going on around us I wish we could see sometimes, and maybe it's best we can't. We've got to understand we are fighting a deceiver. Teenager, you better listen to the preacher. Teenager, you better listen to the preacher. Some of you are being deceived. by the devil. You're being deceived by the devil. And you're listening to some stuff that he's telling you that's just not true. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. He's got you listening to some things that just aren't true. Let God do something in your heart. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you bless the invitation in Jesus' name.